see, ma'am.
Yep.
You son of a bitch. I prefer the term it.
It. I'm sorry, ma'am. You're a freak.
I know. Let it go!
Oh, God. I wasn't expecting that.
Which got me into a little bit of trouble.
That's not even funny.
Can't believe we came up with a whole episode, pretty much.
I'd be like, all right, I got 10 minutes. And I'd run to the computer, fucking pull my pants down. The fire is dying.
I can't even say it. So stupid.
Mr. Yorick! Mr. Yorick!
Welcome to the But You're Wrong podcast. I'm Greg DiNicola.
I'm Keith Fidela.
We now join the But You're Wrong podcast, already in progress. You got a pipeline going.
Exactly, I got a pipeline. I got some in the funnel.
Okay.
God,
I don't even want the funnel.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
I'm
sorry. I haven't thought about that in at least five years.
Dude, I hadn't even thought about it until you just said it. And then I'm thinking, who uses the term funnel? Because at work, we always use pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
And you just, you say in the funnel, and I'm like, oh, my God. Being mm-hmm. like, got 10,000 units, and I mean, 10,000 lines. In?
We got 10,000. Yeah,
we got another 20,000 in the funnel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got. We had 10,000 units in there. We got about 80,000 POTS lines in the funnel, and probably about another. What would you say, Jeff? Like 20,000 ISDN lines.
Wait, who is it, Jeff?
I feel like there's a Jeff. Was it Cook?
Jeff Cook? Yeah. Jeff?
Yeah. Oh, in the,
he knew nothing. Absolutely nothing. I don't think you were there anymore, but I remember when they first started talking about like ISDN lines and stuff, and he's supposed to get up in front of everyone and explain
to us.
Well, here's
the thing. We were talking about ISDN lines when I was there. We had ISDN lines, yeah.
But we couldn't do them. But then, like, we kind of started being able to do them. And so they were like, all right, going to come up and talk about ISDN lines. And I was like, all right, cool, whatever. And he starts going. And then basically all he does is, like, give you a real rough idea about what they are. And then tells us that if we need to get them installed, that we should ask this one kid that worked there who was a fucking complete, like, stoner. About how we should go about getting them installed. I was like, are you serious? I was like, that was your explanation on what's going to happen? You tell us to go ask the pothead about how to do it? Like, that's your company's strategy? It was so ridiculous. I'll never forget that.
It was, I told somebody the story the other day about how we, Dave.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Diamond Dave. And we, he had the calendar that was like the playing cards and poker hands, and we would just like at some point during the day just turn around and play poker. It was like that time was ridiculous.
Ugh.
Like that was such a ridiculous, like it's the perfect like out of college job.
Oh yeah. But it's just like, you're like, how did this place exist?
Like, yeah, what was going on here? Like, we get out, and we go into this job, and you're like, alright, I guess this is like, this is what they do in the movies. They punch keys on a keyboard in a cubicle, and this is what I'm supposed to do. And then it's not till you get out of it that you're like, what the fuck was that?
Well, I'll say... So I'll say this. There was you get to a certain point while you're there, and you start like hearing about like other people's jobs, like you hear about your friends, and you're like,
oh yeah,
and they tell you something, and you're like, that's not how my place works. And then like you start to notice like the weird like things about how like they don't really know how their own products work,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, whoa, wait a sec, there's no like organization, like you just, and you get to then once you finally do leave and you see like how it is outside for real, you're like, oh my god, that's unbelievable. Yeah. Like then you're like, I can't even believe they're in business.
Cause it's like it's got the thing. It's got like it's got an atmosphere that, where they're like, we're a small company, but we're a big company.
Yeah.
Like, we got so many people working for us, and we got so many things going, and we have all these major customers. And then it reaches the point where you're like, okay, well, this issue came up. All right, well, we'll just figure it out as we go then. We're just going to figure this out as we go, which is like a small company thing, like... Like, yeah. That's something that they did in, like, Social Network, where they were like, how do we get past this? And he's like, I don't know, but we'll figure it out.
Right.
And you're like, but I thought we were a big company. Are we not a big company? Are we a small company? What's going on?
The best, one of the best descriptions that I heard as to why things were so bad there from a management standpoint was, and I forget who it was. Oh no, it was someone in Toronto. Oh, what was his fucking name? He did all the billing shit. Paul.
Oh, fucking Paul. He was a Mason.
Was he? I could see that.
I will get into that story in a minute.
And see, a lot of people hated him, but I actually didn't mind.
He was alright. He was kind of a dick though.
Yeah, he was, but if he liked you, he was actually pretty cool. But I remember one time we were supposed to be doing some training thing, but basically it just consisted of me and Costas sitting in the back making fun of the company. And Costas, he goes, you know what the number one problem here is? He goes, all these people, right? We started out and it was a small company and they had this group of people that knew customer service. They knew how to do some things. And they had the mentality of a startup business. And he goes, and the company took off. And it really did. Like, it grew really fast and got big and was very successful. He goes, the problem is that the size and scope of the company has outgrown the capabilities of anyone that works here. He goes, the people, you know, they're nice people and everything, but they're only capable of managing a small company. Not a single one of them knows how to manage a company of this size, and they're all in over their heads.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't think that they pretend that they're not. He's like, and that's the number one thing. They don't ask for help because they think that they can just figure it out. He's like, but they can't. And I was like, wow. I was like, you're totally right. Like, none of these people know what's going on. But
I wonder if okay, let's start trying to use code names.
Yeah,
this, because sure. Either we'll use this for this episode, or maybe we'll cut it out into something else. I'm trying to think of a name for him. I was gonna go Professor Xavier because he was bald.
Yeah.
So Xavier and Eeyore? Okay, so Eeyore, him and Eeyore were Masons, were in, like, the Freemasons. And they are the number one reason why I don't believe any of, like, the Masonic kind of, like, conspiracy theories. Because I'm like, these guys, like, the Masons are letting these fuckers in?
Yeah, that's definitely one of those things. Like, you see, like, the caliber of people who are actually Masons, and you're like, they really, like, I highly doubt that they're hiding, like, the secrets of the world.
Look, I mean, like, high up, maybe. Like, I'm sure there are, like, high-end people that are Masons and were Masons.
Yeah.
There was a family friend and who we kind of referred to as Uncle. Well, I didn't refer to him as Uncle because he passed before I knew him. But my brother knew him, and my mom grew up with him and everything. He was a Mason.
Right.
I don't think he was necessarily a powerful individual in the community, but I think he was one of those people that, like, knew everybody. That's the impression I get. He knew everybody, so, like,
He wasn't like a George Washington Mason.
He wasn't like a George Washington Mason, but he wasn't like an Eeyore Mason either.
Okay.
Like, he knew everybody. He was, like, a likable guy, like...
Man About Town?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And that I believe, but these guys, I'm just like, they must have been legacy Masons. Like, they're just like, oh, fuck. Like, we want their younger brother, so we have to let them in. Because their younger brother is going to run for office one day or some shit like that. Like, yeah. They were like, if the conspiracy is true, they're like, fuck, we gotta let this guy in to, you know.
Or maybe their grandfather was a Mason or something.
Well, yeah, you know, I think that was it. Like, their fathers or grandfathers or something were Masons.
His father before him.
But Eeyore always used to wear that tie chain, too. Like, not a tie pin, but it's like the back of it is just a little piece of metal that, like, clips over the button. And then in the front of it, that holds the part that holds your tie in, it's like a tie pin, but it's just the chain that wraps around the...
Is that a Mason thing?
No, I'm just saying this is what he always did.
It's
just a stupid thing.
Oh, okay. It's kind of old-timey, isn't it?
I think so.
Okay. Like, douchey old-timey.
Yeah. Where was I going with the story? Oh, that. I think my point of that original story was that they just made me go, I don't think this Mason shit is true. I think National Treasure lied to me.
Hmm. No, I haven't actually seen National Treasure, but it was the Masons were behind the whole thing.
I think it was. I think it had to do with them being involved in hiding the treasure, and it was because the Freemasons. It was the treasure of the Templars. And then it, like, bounced around, and the Freemasons hid it during the Revolution. And that's why they hid the map to it on the back of the Declaration of Independence.
I know that in popular conspiracy theories and everything, that the Masons are supposed to be like the descendants of the Knights Templar or something like that.
Yeah, they're supposed to be connected somehow.
Yeah. Have you watched, I don't think we talked about this before. Have you watched the fucking Curse of Oak Island show?
No, I haven't. Should I check it out?
I don't know. I'll tell you this. I've watched just about every episode.
Okay.
That doesn't mean I'm glad I have. In fact, I find it to be one of the most infuriating TV shows I've ever watched in my life.
Oh my God, there's 3 seasons of this thing?
Oh yeah. No, I'm in the middle of season 3 right now. Keith, I don't think I can really put into words how little has happened on this TV show. Like, I've never seen any sort of a media thing, like a TV show, a movie, a book. I've never seen anything go on for so long that has such little happening.
What is okay? Here's the brief Wikipedia thing. Here's let's see. The Curse of Oak Island is a reality television series that premiered in the United States on the History Channel in January of 2014. So 2 years this has been going on.
Yeah.
The show details the efforts of brothers Marty and Rick
Lugana.
Yeah. Looks like Legina.
Yeah, I know it does.
Lugana from Michigan in their attempt to solve the 220-year-old Oak Island mystery using modern technology. Modern technology, William. And a global...
Yeah, because they're going to go there and use ancient technology.
Yeah. Using modern technology and a global... global consultancy? Consultancy, yeah. Consultancy of experts I don't see the word consultancy much, so I was like, did I just fuck that up?
No, that's a new one, actually, for me.
Global consultancy of experts. They seek the treasure or historical artifacts. The treasure or historical artifacts. We're not sure. No. 2 years, no idea.
No, trust me, they don't know.
Believed to be buried on Oak Island off the coast of Nova Scotia, Canada.
So...
All right, hang on. Overview. The Curse of Oak Island follows brothers Marty and Rick Lagana, originally from Kingsford, Michigan, through their efforts to find this speculated treasure or historical artifacts believed to be on Oak Island. The series discusses the history of the island, recent discoveries, theories, and the sometimes fatal attempts to solve this mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Areas of interest include the infamous Money Pit, Borehole 10X, and the Swamp. That's why I called my ex-wife.
Mm. Right, yeah.
As they launch a three-prong... That's how I did my ex-wife. Exploratory assault in season 3.
And they really call it an exploratory assault?
That's what it's called in this Wikipedia article.
My God.
The Lagana brothers became fascinated with the island after reading the January 1965. How old are these guys?
I think they're like late 50s, maybe?
Okay.
That seems a little...
Well, maybe they, like, found a stack of their dad's Playboys, and they were like, ew, and then they found Reader's Digest next to it.
Yeah.
Because it was the January 1965 issue of Reader's Digest magazine that features an article. Is that even still around?
I'll look that up while you...
Hey, I'm just going to click the Wikipedia link here and see real quick if it's still... I guess it doesn't have, like, an end date here.
I wonder if it's, like, mostly online or something now. Although, then again, the people who read Reader's Digest probably don't use the internet.
Like, there's nothing here that says...
It doesn't say a former magazine.
Yeah, it doesn't say, like, last issue or anything.
Yeah. All right, I guess we can assume Reader's Digest is still a thing.
Interesting. Good for them.
I guess.
Good on them. Where was I? That features an article on the Restall family's work to solve the mystery of the so-called Money Pit. I saw that movie. That was pretty good. Marty and his brother.
Train?
No, Money Pit.
Oh, okay.
The Money Pit with Tom Hanks was in it, right?
Was it?
Tom Hanks and the chick from Cheers. Shelley Long.
Okay.
They buy a house and everything goes wrong with it, so it's a money pit.
Got it.
Yeah. Marty and his brother, Rick, gained a controlling interest of Oak Island Tours, which reportedly owns most of the island. The brothers were later approached by Prometheus Entertainment to do a reality show. Sounds like a Ridley Scott movie.
Yeah.
Rick and Marty have engaged the assistance of father and son team Dan and Dave Blankenship?
Yeah, Blankenship.
That's such a made-up name. Permanent residents of the island who have likewise been searching for treasure since the 1960s. Okay, so... What's the mystery? Tell me the mystery, because right now I don't give a fuck.
All right, I'm going to... Here...
Give me the Reader's Digest version.
I'll give you the version I know. I have no clue what is supposed to be down there. At certain points during the series, they've stated that there is just buried treasure... of, like, a nondescript, you know, kind, like, denomination, whether it's gold doubloons or fucking cash. They don't even say, they don't know what it
it's
is.
It's probably not cash.
I know.
220 years ago, they didn't have cash.
Well, I'm just saying, it could be.
That's like saying it's a stack of MX cards.
Could be. I don't, honestly, if you told me that there was a bunch of fucking credit cards at the bottom of this pit, I'd be just as likely to believe it as anything else.
Okay.
They've also stated that they believe that other famous artifacts could be on this island, such as...
Holy Grail?
Yes.
Okay.
And the Ark of the Covenant.
Oh, really?
Yes. Amongst some other things, too. I forget what the other...
Do they say why they're basing this on there? Like, are they like, we have reports that, you know, we found this journal somewhere in, you know, Spain that says that they were departing for this island?
Dude, it's all like hearsay.
It's all just made up.
Like, well, like, they've met people. Like, they went over to, like, Spain and stuff, and they were talking to this guy, and he's like, yeah, no, that stuff, the Knights Templar, they brought that stuff when they came back from the Middle East. They brought it here.
All right, then, now, are they talking to a doctor or, like, a guy on the street?
He's like, well, no, he's like a Mason.
Oh, okay.
Over in Spain. No, but everyone is convinced, not everyone, but all the people that they talk to, because I feel that they only talk to the people that are going to agree with them, are convinced that, like, all this shit is buried there. And there's no evidence. It makes, it boggles my mind how they keep going. Not only that, but they don't find anything.
My favorite thing is they also say that it could contain lost Shakespeare manuscripts.
Yeah, I don't even know about that.
That's one of the things in this Wikipedia article. There's so, like, could be lost Shakespeare manuscripts. We don't know.
So people have been looking for shit in this island since, I think, like, the late 1700s. And some people have claimed that they found stuff. And so that guy, Blankenship, right? He built this hole. It's called 10X. And it's supposed to be where the money pit is, where it's like this.
What's the money pit? Is the money pit where they think it is?
That is the main location where they think the treasure is buried, or at least most, like, people have been led to believe it is. So there's supposed to be, like, all these booby traps and everything.
Oh,
like,
no, not booby traps.
Yeah. No. Like the water will flood the tunnel if you get down to a certain depth and stuff. Like, they think that there's, like, these tunnels that they built out to the ocean that will, like, flood it. Like, we're talking, like, some engineering that, like it would have been, like, difficult for the Romans to do.
Okay.
Never mind some jerk off in Canada. So this guy built this pit, this tunnel thing called, he calls it 10X. I don't know why. But basically, he dug the tunnel or the hole.
Wait, are you saying 10X?
10X.
Okay. Yeah, that's how it's written on here. Okay. He calls it 10X for some reason. I guess maybe that was just the marker in the system that they were using. But I don't know. Okay. Sorry.
No. So he, and it's actually kind of ingenious the way he, like, I don't say filled the hole, but it, so that it's like a tunnel down, and it's straight down. He took railroad tankers and dropped them in, like, with the ends gone. He took out the ends okay. of them, so that is like the walls of the tunnel.
So if, when you get to a certain depth, it's going to start flooding.
Yes.
The railroad tanker comes down and blocks the water.
Well,
that
didn't really do anything because it is full of water. Like, once you get down, like, 80 feet, you hit water.
Oh, so it's already full of water.
It's already full of water, and they can't get it out. They've tried to, like, pump it, and it doesn't work. So you go through this part, and it's, like, I forget how many feet wide. Yeah. And then you get to the bottom where the railroad cars are, and it's, like, this smaller tunnel that's only, like, 30 inches wide or something. And this guy said, and this goes down, like, 200 feet. And this guy says that he used to dive down there just using, like, standard-ass gear, like scuba gear. And he said he saw, like, all this shit, like, in this underground cavern. He thinks that, like, there's, like, all the, there's, like, a treasure chest and, like, a tomb and, like, tools and all this shit.
You know what I think? I think his oxygen tank ran out one time when he was down there.
Dude. So they like, one episode in the second season, I think, they finally, I mean, I can't believe it took so goddamn long for them to do this. But they sent a little submersible with like a camera on it.
Okay.
Nothing. And they're like, well, you know, I don't know. There was a weird shape over in the corner there. They found nothing. The other thing they talk about, the swamp. Dude, I'm not even joking. This was one of the, it was painful to watch. They were like, well, there's got to be something in the swamp. We want to start digging. Like, we found they were using metal detectors and stuff.
Like, dude, just the regular handheld metal detectors?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, the hobbyist.
Right, metal. Right. Okay. Like, you pick up at, like, a shitty store. They got this poor...
Where do you get metal detectors, anyway?
I don't know. I feel like old people have a knack for finding that shit.
You were trying to think of a place, and you're just like...
I had a shitty store.
But that brings up an excellent... What the fuck do you find a metal detector?
I don't know.
I've never seen one in a store like, now, on sale, metal detectors.
I know. Where do they come from? You know, wait, what about, like, where I bet you used to have them? The store doesn't exist anymore, but the Sharper Image?
Sharper Image doesn't exist anymore?
I haven't seen one in a long time. I thought it was gone. Look that up.
I mean, you're probably right. Hang on, I just want to say, you can get metal detectors online, on Amazon, for sure. They range from like $50 to like $200, it looks like.
Yeah. I mean, they might have been using $200.
Wow. Here's like a $300 set, and it comes with a whole bunch of shit. Like its own set of headphones and shit. Like, it's.
Ooh.
It looks for. Oh my God. Here's one that's $800.
Yeah. I don't think they were using the $800.
Wait, is that a sleeping bag? Or no, maybe that's just like to hold
the carrying case.
Yeah, it's just carrying.
Oh, case. That'd be great if it comes with its own carrying case.
Comes with its own carrying case, like a rifle. What's the other thing? I was looking up Sharper Image. Sorry, go on.
So
they use shitty metal detectors in the swamp.
They use the metal detectors. They're like, oh, there's definitely something down there. There's something here, dude. The water was maybe 5-6. Let's say 6 inches deep. And then it was just straight mud. And they had this poor sap in a fucking wetsuit with flippers on and an oxygen tank. And dude, he's like just like flailing around in the mud with his face just down in the muck. Like he's looking for something. Like he just, it looked like one of those fucking like seals or something when they're stuck in the oil spill and they don't know what to do and they can't get out. And like this has to be a joke. Like what in God's name are they doing? And he found nothing. The only thing that they have found on the island that I know of is a coin. It was actually a Spanish coin.
Oh.
From, like, the 1600s. Now.
So they did all this, and they found one Spanish coin.
And it wasn't even in one of those places. They found it, like, it might have been near the swamp that they found that. But, dude. Because they found the Spanish coin, like, now they're just, like, that gives them complete, like, freedom to just be like, oh, yeah, no, the legends are true. And I'm like, you know, some guy could have dropped that there, like, a year ago.
I mean, in theory, yeah.
I'm just saying, like,
that
could have got there many different ways, not from the fucking Knights Templar.
You're really invested in this.
Dude, I've watched, I hate it. I hate it so much, yet I it's on right now. I have it on my TV. I'm not really watching it, because I've already seen this episode.
Okay.
But it's on the TV. Silent.
Here's the thing.
They don't need to hear it because they're not going to discover anything because it doesn't fucking matter.
I kind of want to watch it, but at the same time, you're just like, nothing happens, so.
Oh, no. It's almost entertaining how much nothing happened. Like, you'll be amazed at the lengths that they'll tease shit. Like, they're so good at teasing, like, oh my god, the next big, they'll even say shit like the next big discovery on the commercials. And they'll show, like, some, and they're all like, oh my god, what is that? Like, they're looking at a screen, and you're like, oh my god, maybe they finally found something. and they never do. You don't know how many times I've been like, all right, here
so
we
they,
go.
What you're telling
Tonight's
is...
the night on Oak Island, and it never happens.
What you're telling me is they find more on Ghost Hunters.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And Ghost Hunters is atrocious, as we've discussed, but... yes, I've seen
more... no, Ghost Hunters isn't as bad as Ghost Adventures.
Oh, no, I was thinking of Ghost Adventures with Zach Baggins.
Now, have you watched The Hunt for Hitler?
Yes.
How is that?
I stopped watching that. It's bad.
Is it kind of the same thing? Like, they're just kind of searching for evidence that Hitler's still alive? Or
yes. Well,
lived after.
So here, that's the funny thing. So, it's... It, all right, so the concept...
Hang on.
Yeah.
Remind me to come back to Oak Island and notable explorers of Oak Island.
Okay.
And sharper image. The stores look like they closed.
Yeah.
They're still online, though. It looks like they got bought out by somebody, and they're still trying to kind of keep the brand alive.
Cool.
Okay.
Well, so maybe I'll have to peruse this site.
Yeah. You don't need to.
Nah,
it's the same stupid shit that you don't need. Some kind of R2-D2 robot that does something, and some kind of air filter and a massage chair.
I was always, when the stores were open, I remember being like, if I'm ever rich someday, I'm buying everything at the Shopper Image store.
It was like the first Apple store.
Yeah.
Like Apple stores were like, oh my God, this is like the future. Before that was the Sharper Image.
Yeah.
Like, Apple took it and was like, okay, we're going to do what the Sharper Image did. But everything's white.
the way it should be.
I like that. We're going to take the ideas of White Castle and Sharper Image, combine them together, Apple Store. There you go.
Yeah. And the products were a little more practical.
Yes. A phone that you can take pictures of your dick and send it to people.
Oh God, I love doing that.
That was way more practical than some kind of ionic breeze air filter bullshit thing.
Yeah. Who needs a fan?
Yeah.
So Hunting Hitler. Alright, so the concept that Hitler got out of Germany,
mm-hmm,
and made it to Argentina, whatever, is interesting. I've heard that before. I've heard, you know, rumors about stuff like that. And obviously we know that a lot of Nazis made it to South America and shit like that. So, okay. You know, is it possible? I guess. Because no one ever really verified that he died. I mean, the Russians said they killed him, but... Or, I mean, the Russians said he was dead, but... you know. I'm not so sure that I believe... I mean... Whatever. So, okay. Cool concept. Got it. So we're going to start looking for evidence. Okay. So you put this team together, these people. Some guy is like, you got this former FBI, like, tough guy. You've got this, like, forensic anthropologist guy. And then some, like, private investigator.
So it's a ragtag team is what you're telling
me. Yeah, it's a real weird crew. It's a motley crew, if you would. And the problem right off the bat that first episode is that they're all dying to believe that it's true.
Okay, so there's not one guy that's like, I don't think this is true.
There's one guy who like he acts like he's playing he acts like he's the skeptic, but he's really, I feel like he just plays devil's advocate once in a while. So, like, I just feel like I watch it and every single one of them is just looking to reassure themselves that they're correct.
Mm-hmm.
So any evidence that they find that is that makes their argument even more plausible is proof that that's the case. And so, like, they just constantly keep making these jumps to being like, well, obviously. So, like... It's interesting. Like, some of the they'll find, like, one of the things was like, how could Hitler have gotten from his bunker to a plane to at the airport during the siege and everything? And they did like this thing, like underground tunnels through Berlin, and you know what, and everything was very plausible. And you're like, okay, you know what, I guess it. He technically could have made it from the bunker to the airport. I guess there was a path of some sort. But as soon as they figure it out, as soon as they're like, that connection is made, even though it is a really fucking roundabout way through the fucking sewer and through the fucking subway and everything, they're like, that's it. That's it. He made it out. He made it out. And it's like, I mean, if I wanted to walk, if I wanted to walk underground from my house to the airport, I probably could find a way.
I thought you were going to say, if I could do it, I would probably still shoot myself.
No, but I could probably, I could in theory find a way to do it. But does that mean I would or should, or I don't know, or would even be able to figure it out?
Well, yeah, and there's so many things, like, they need one of us on the show, because we could be like, well, do we know that all the tunnels leading to the airport were intact at that point?
Yeah, I mean, that I think that they tried to say that they were. I don't remember the specifics of, like, oh, this was built then. But
what about the fact that, like, if a plane left the airport, wouldn't somebody try and shoot it down at that point? Like,
yeah,
was the airport secure enough where they wouldn't be shot down, or would we try to shoot it down? Would they try and take a train to, like, some other country and then escape through that country?
Apparently this airport, like, there was, like, the main airport, which was totally no way because the Russians had it. And then there was this one that I guess the Germans still kind of had control of it, or at least partially. I don't know.
It makes no sense. Hey, here's my thing. Real quick, if Hitler was like, I'm going to escape, I'm going to South America. I don't know how all the other Nazis did it, but Hitler's a pretty high-profile guy.
Right.
I'm thinking, gets a haircut, shaves the mustache, gets out of Germany, and at least goes into another country, and then maybe flies to South America. But he's got to wait, and he lays low a little while. Like at least a couple months. And hides out.
Yeah, and until then the smoke clears.
Yeah, and then he gets on a plane.
So, now, one of the biggest, I mean, one of the other things that you'll notice if you watch it, and just, it goes along with the same kind of weird undertones, like, that I said, where they all are so convinced that they're right. They're all so convinced that he did escape and that he lived for, like, fucking forever in South America, is the fact that none of them, at no point do they ever discuss him being dead. So it's like almost they don't say this, but they almost to a point insinuate that at some point, at the end of this long fucking trail of breadcrumbs that they're finding, that they're going to open a door and 126-year-old Hitler's going to be sitting there building, like, a ship in a bottle. And he's just going to be like, oh, you're fond of me. You know? Like,
I knew he would come someday.
They don't say it. They've never, like, had the audacity to suggest that he would still be alive regardless.
But they never address, like, let's find Hitler's body or anything.
No, they don't. They never say that. It's always, like, kind of this weird background idea that they're gonna, like, bump into him. It's really weird. And I was talking about it with Chris because he was saying the same thing. He was like, why, you know, like, he's like, do they expect to find him? Because they don't talk about him like he's been dead for, you know, 50 years, regardless of whether or not he got out. Like, I mean, even if he got out, went down to South America, and lived till he was 80, he'd still would have been dead for 50 years. Like,
yeah.
It's just, it's weird. And it, And even though they're not saying that, it kind of brings this, like, weird feeling of illegitimacy to the whole
show. Yeah, like, they don't acknowledge, like, okay, well, we're going to try and find out where, like, if Hitler lived and made it to Argentina, like, we're going to try and find the body and exhume it and do a DNA test or something.
Like. Right, right, exactly. Like, oh, okay, this is where some Nazis were known to have lived in Argentina. You know, here's where they were buried. You know, could one of these plots be Hitler or something? You know, like, that would be one thing. But, man, they're just, like... All they keep doing is just chasing these, like, little stories. And they'll, like, go and, like, meet with some people, like, some person in the town in the middle of Argentina. Or at one point they're like, oh, we made it up to Brazil or something. And they're, like,
have you seen Hitler lately?
No, and they'll be like, who lived up there? Who lived in that house? And they're like, there were Nazis up there. Like, and they'll just...
Did one of them have a funny mustache?
Well, and immediately the guys doing the program, they'll be like, oh, whoa, there we go. Like, so we heard a rumor that Hitler came to this town. And then these people are saying that there were Nazis here. So put two and two together. That means Hitler stayed in that house. And I'm like, why? And they're like, that's two sources. And I'm like, how do you know it wasn't the same source? Like, yeah, how do you know that all the hearsay came from these people that they saw Nazis? Like, I'm just not really sure. Like, that's not like a conclusion.
Well, yeah, and it's not like if they were searching for a guy with three arms. And they were like, we heard that a guy came to this village and he had three arms. And the people were like, and they're like, so we went to this village and we talked to the locals and we're like, who lived in that house? Oh, there's a man with three arms there. Oh, yeah. This man might have been there. But they're just like, the guy we're looking for was a Nazi. There were a lot of them.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, and so they'll take these, like... they'll take these, like, two seemingly separate pieces of information that aren't necessarily... They don't necessarily correlate to each other. It's just that there are, like, similar... I don't know. There's some similarities between the two stories. And they're like, that's all the proof we needed.
So
and
is
I'm
this,
like, really?
Is this
like,
over now? Is the hunt for Hitler over? Or hunting over. Hitler or whatever it's called?
Yeah, I think it is. I don't know how many episodes it was. I think it was like a 10-episode season or something.
Okay.
I have no idea if they're bringing it back or anything. I hope not, because I really did not.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just... I would
was it called Hunting Hitler? Is that it?
I think it's called Hunting Hitler. I'm going to open up another pack.
Hey Greg, what do people get when they listen to the But You're Wrong Network?
They get a whole bunch of stuff. They get several great shows to listen to. They get hours of entertainment and updates on current news and media.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We're always up to date. We love to keep it fun and loose.
So what
happened? Just like my ex-wife.
So what happens when we open up the first show, like, But You're Wrong?
The first show? I'm going to open up another pack. But You're Wrong? Well, But You're Wrong's about two crazy guys that like to get together and have a couple beverages and talk about their lives and everything. It's exactly what you talk about with your friends, but instead you get to listen to it in the car. And no one makes fun of you for laughing.
What's that? What's that last card in the pack? It looks like it looks like a mugshot of a woman. What happened there?
The mugshot of a woman. Also, we talk a lot about dumb criminals and people shoving things up their bodily openings. So, That could be something like that.
Okay. All right. All right. That's good. That's good. What about if we open up like that living room theater? What's that?
The living room theater. Oh, that's one of my all-time favorite shows. Listen to Keith and his wonderful wife Rachel. They watch movies together, and you get different perspectives. You get the mankind and the womankind perspective. And, you know, it's like a little battle of the sexes, you know, who's going to like what, who is going to hate it. And, you know, usually the man's right, but, you know, you got to let the woman speak. It's 2016.
Okay. All right. All right. That's interesting. That's interesting, QVC Greg. What about Fortune Cookie Minute? Let's open that up. That's real simple.
That one, I'm not so sure about that one. The Chinamen, the only people who could get away with putting fortunes in the food.
Well, you know, QVC Greg, that's funny because that's actually an American thing.
Well, I'll be. you done stooped me. I ain't never heard of that. Well, you should check that one out too, and use those numbers when you're playing your lotto later. When your old lady sends you down to the quick stop.
To the quick stop. Okay, yeah. So and then there's one more QVC Greg. Greg. So, most of this is staying in. There's the documentary show.
I tell you something, Keith. I learn something every time I listen to that documentary show. I was going to say watch. I don't watch it. Sometimes I lay back and I close my eyes and I put it on.
But sometimes you put it on iTunes and you put the visualizer on. You just sit back and watch it, though, right?
I just imagine that you're there with me in my bed. And
both of us?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a big bet. No, you learn something new, and documentaries are a great way to keep up on the culture. I love them documentaries. They just, especially the one about, did you guys the one about the mayonnaise versus the Miracle Whip?
No, I don't think we knew about that one.
Oh.
What's that one called?
Whip It Good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's the same name as my autobiography.
It sounds like a pro
Miracle Whip.
Miracle Whip. Thank you. Thank you. It sounds like a pro Miracle Whip.
You'd think that, wouldn't you?
Yeah. No, is it pro mayonnaise?
Oh. You gotta wait to see the results.
Oh, spoiler alert?
Yeah, no, I don't like to spoil.
All right.
You know what's terrible when it spoils? Mayonnaise. It's awful. One time, I had the whole, it like exploded on me. This is even a joke.
Did it come out of a jar or a tube? Because if it came out of a tube, I'm not sure it's mayonnaise.
Nah, it was it was one of them ding-a-lingies. Yeah, squeeze the old tube.
I was at a Subway and the guy said, "Just pull the tube down.
Yeah.
Just keep pulling, and one day mayonnaise will come out.
Just unravel it a little bit."
Yeah. And I was pulling so hard, I said, well, maybe it's stuck. Because it seemed like a lot was building up in the tube.
Yeah. And it hadn't been used for a couple days.
So I looked to see if it was clogged, and then all of a sudden, bam, mayonnaise all over my face.
Kapow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Longest ad ever. But... So if people want to listen to all these shows, QVC Greg, what what would they have to pay for it?
Well, Keith, that's the most beautiful part about the whole thing. The But You're Wrong Network comes with 5 easy payments of $0.
5 easy payments of $0?
That means it's free.
Do I have to pay shipping and handling?
No, there ain't no shipping and handling.
Holy shit.
I'm telling you. I don't know what that was. I'm telling you, it's free. I'm fixing to go listen to some right now.
And are we guaranteed like at least one laugh per episode?
I don't make those kind of guarantees, Keith.
I thought you told me that in the last pack baseball cards I got, I get at least one rookie card.
You did, but it just wasn't the kind you wanted. You got a Polo Duca rookie card, and you didn't want it. It's not my fault. I don't choose the cards.
All right, well, I'll assume you're better at this then.
Listen, everybody, you go on the internet, you with your Macintosh computer, and search But You're Wrong on the iTunes or Stitcher Radio app. Or you could do it on your phone, your phone doohickey, on your BlackBerry.
Nobody has BlackBerries.
I got the app on my flip phone. Look up the But You're Wrong Network. Look up But You're Wrong, Living Room Theater, the documentary show, and that fortune cookie thing. I'm telling you. You're going to enjoy one of them. I mean, you might not like all of them, but one of them's going to be good. I guarantee it.
Thanks, QVC Craig.
Welcome. Honestly, I found the Oak Island show to be much better.
Okay. Is basically their then conclusion at the end of Hunting Hitler like, hey, it's possible that he got out, or are they like, he definitely got out?
Oh, no. I'll say this. I did not watch every single episode. I probably watched 5 or so episodes. No, but they are like, he got out.
And he made it to Argentina or Brazil or something.
Right. And here is all this stuff that we found to back up our argument that we had already predetermined was correct. Like, and that's the thing. If you already have an argument, then you're just going to find things that fit your argument.
Yeah.
You're not necessarily going to take into account the things that don't. So it just, oh God. Yeah. I wouldn't bother with that.
Okay. So don't watch Hunting Hitler and probably don't watch Oak Island.
I wouldn't suggest watching Oak Island.
Like, if I'm sick one day and I'm home and there's like a marathon on, like, should I watch it?
I would say yes, because I honestly love to hate it. Like, I didn't love to hate Hunting Hitler. It wasn't entertaining. I am enjoying hating The Curse of Oak Island, and I continue to watch it.
So is Oak Island like the ghost hunt? Is it Ghost Adventures?
Yeah, you could say that.
Going back to Oak Island.
Yeah.
Notable explorers. Australian-American actor Errol Flynn was invested in an Oak Island treasure dig.
Oh, wow.
Actor John Wayne was an investor in the drilling equipment manufacturer used on Oak Island and offered the use of his equipment to help solve the mystery.
I heard something about that, yeah.
William Vincent Astor, member of the prominent Astor family. I don't know who the fuck they are.
Oh, no, wasn't, Yeah, one of them was on the Titanic. John Jacob Astor?
Yeah, and heir to the fortune after his father died on the Titanic. Took a massive investment in digging for Oak Island treasure. Rear Admiral Richard E. Byrd Jr.
Yes.
Maintain a passive investment in and monitor the status over time of Oak Island exploration and treasure hunting. This is where it gets interesting. Admiral Byrd advised Franklin Roosevelt on Oak Island and formed a relationship over their work, forming the United States Antarctic Service, an arm of the federal government with Byrd nominally in command. Because another notable explorer was Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm.
Stirred by family stories originating from his famous sailing and trading grandfather, an Oak Island financier, Warren Delano Jr., began participation in the Oak Island mystery from late 1909 to 1910 and continued to follow and keep close tabs on progress until his death in 1945.
Hmm.
Throughout his political years, he monitored Oak Island and kept close ties in recovery attempts and development. He privately devised a secret plan to visit Oak Island as president in 1939 while being in nearby Halifax, Nova Scotia. However, the fog delay and the international situation leading up to World War II made it impossible, as is seen in an archived signed letter.
Also, his wheelchair would not have really worked.
Right.
Would have been tough.
A lot of rocky terrain. Could not make it to the swamp.
He couldn't go down the hole.
They didn't have wheelchair size slippers. It's so good though that the current political climate was not the same for FDR, because otherwise there would have been a guy going, "This guy fucking believes in Oak Island mystery shit." Like the Knights Templar all of a sudden fucking showed up with all this thing. He thinks the Ark of the Covenant is there and shit. Do you want that guy running the country?
And everyone would be like, "No." He would have been absolutely crucified.
I don't know, though. If he threw out Ark of the Covenant, people might have been like... Like, they would have been like... Or the opponent would have said, he thinks Shakespeare's lost manuscripts are there and pirate doubloons and shit. And then FDR would have been like, I also think that the Ark of the Covenant is there and the Holy Grail. And the people would have been like, oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. We need those things.
Maybe.
I was almost like, they're gonna kill the it's gonna kill the Nazis. And then I was like, oh wait, Nazis didn't exist back then. Not at that point. Not at 1939.
Yeah, they did.
Well, but they weren't like, oh shit, we gotta fucking beat up the Nazis. Were we at 1939? Yeah, were we getting that point?
They were invading Czechoslovakia and shit at that point.
When did they invade Poland?
1939. September 1939.
Yeah. Okay, so just before that, then I'm thinking.
Yeah, a couple months before.
So, like, during election season, people would have been like, oh, the Nazis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, because he was in, let's see. When...
Well, some people were Nazi sympathizers at that point. Yeah, they had little parties and stuff.
So when he was elected in 1933, people were like, nobody would have been like, yeah, we need the Ark of the Covenant. It's going to kill the Nazis. Because right. they didn't know who the Nazis were.
Yeah, but by the election of 40, they might have been.
Yeah.
But anyways, so that is interesting that he was involved with that.
Yeah.
Oak Island, not the worst thing I've ever seen. I wouldn't invest too much time in it.
Okay, so your view of Oak Island is how I feel about Terminator Genesis?
Oh, okay, yeah, I think so.
I don't want to get too into it, because I would like to for you and I to do some kind of drunken, chemically induced viewing of it.
Yes.
But I had said before, I was like, I will watch it sober, which is mostly true, to get an idea of it beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
In the original, like, series of movies, and I was going to go back and watch them, and I was like, no, you know, I should just go into this fresh. In the original series of movies, were the machines putting people into camps, or were they just killing people? I always thought that they were just killing people and not putting them into camps.
You know, I actually think that at some point in one of the first two, they might have mentioned something about being put in like a prison camp.
Did they? Okay.
It was never depicted, but.
Because they talk about it in this one, and I was like, why the fuck are the robots putting people into camps? Like, why not just shoot them? Like, just let's just, like, if you're trying to take over the world, why not just get rid of people?
I think it might have been briefly mentioned, actually.
Okay. Because they mentioned that in this, too. Overall, though, like, not as bad as I was expecting. I went in expecting a really shitty movie.
Yeah.
Not that bad. A lot of things still don't make sense. Unanswered questions and shit. I know your least favorite thing about the Terminator series is they do the, you can't change the future. You can change the future. Oh, wait, you can't change the future.
Yeah. Back and forth.
This one, spoiler alert, you can change the future.
Oh, you can.
But.
Oh, boy.
In the post-credit sequence, can you? Or I should say in the mid-credit sequence, they're like, can you change the future? So you're like, oh, fuck.
Did they really do that? Like, they went back on
it? I mean, there's not actually, like, a guy that says
no,
it.
No, no, I know, like, but, like...
But, yeah, they do go back on it.
What annoys me is just that the good ones, the first two, are that you can change the future. That mm-hmm. that your fate is what you make it, right? Is the line. So, they didn't start fucking with that until the shitty ones. So I mean, really, that's why I have that cutoff.
I'm just gonna say, my order for the movies is 2-1. Genesis 5, 3-4. I think that's my order.
Yeah.
Not terrible.
Salvation sucks.
I wish they hadn't. I've only seen it once. I don't really remember. I actually, when I say I don't really remember, I literally have no idea what the fuck happens.
Yeah.
Them blowing the appearance of Connor as a Terminator does really kind of ruin the movie. It would have been much cooler if I had been watching the movie and then been like, oh fuck, he's a Terminator, like what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, because you knew it from the fucking commercials,
but you know it from the commercials and the trailers and shit. It would have been really cool had they been able to get what's the T-1000's name?
Robert Patrick.
Thank you, Robert Patrick. Not necessarily to reprise the role, but, like, they have a scene where old Terminator fights young Terminator. Again, it's in the trailer, or one of the trailers, or whatever.
Yeah.
The effects aren't great, but it's still kind of cool.
I mean,
two
Terminators fighting each other has always been, like, one of the coolest things you can do.
It would have been cool if you had seen him come back as the T-1000. In an era where in Ant-Man you can make Michael Douglas look like 1980s Michael Douglas.
Mm.
Like, you can fucking see him. You saw Ant-Man, right?
I actually did not.
Okay. Well, there's a part where that's supposed to take place during the 80s, and they basically put a bunch of dots on old Michael Douglas's face and then CGI'd him to be young Michael Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
It looks good, and I'm imagining that maybe they did something similar with Arnold in this one.
Oh, yeah.
They couldn't do that with Robert Patrick. Like, that would have been awesome. That would have been way better than just having some Asian guy do it.
Yeah.
And then there's a couple other things that's like, they talk about stuff like way too early in the movie. And you're just like, oh, this kind of just blows everything. And like, there's no like,
well, like they just blow their load before you're ready.
Basically. And you're just like, okay, I get it. Like, I know that this is this, like, let's get on with it now. And everybody in the movie, like, because you as a viewer know what's going to happen. Like, you know, Skynet is the end of the movie. Because it's the end of every movie.
Right.
So, like, the characters are late to catch up to that, but you already know it.
That's annoying.
And then my only other complaint, which I think I texted to you, is Emilia Clarke. Emily Clarke or Emilia Clarke?
I don't know.
I know it's M something Clarke. The Mother of Dragons.
Yeah. I don't know how you say it.
I honestly don't know how you spell it.
M Clark.
I would say Amelia.
Amelia?
Cause
I think it is.
Emilia. Amelia Clark plays Sarah Connor. I came back to say Sarah Connor. She is a brunette in this movie, which I'm assuming is her natural hair color.
I believe it is, yes.
No shot to tits.
No titty shots.
Nope, nothing. Lots of like hints at it. Lots of silhouettes. It's kind of like a Bond movie in one scene.
Oh, yeah.
You see some silhouettes and stuff, and you're like, oh, maybe this is the chance, but no.
I'm trying to think. There was no tits in the first one, was there? No, I don't think there were
tits in any of them.
No. I mean, there's a dick, but no tits.
But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's, it wasn't terrible. I don't think they're making another one.
Yeah.
They might, though, considering it did really well in China.
Oh. Chinese only.
Yeah. Here's the thing though. My biggest complaint was the mid-credit sequence where they're like, because they end the movie and they're like, you can change your future, anything's possible. Yeah. And then they're just like, mid-credit sequence, maybe you can't. And you're like, oh, fuck you. Like, fuck you.
Yeah.
There's some cool moments in it though, but when we eventually watch it, you know, we'll discuss, but.
I feel like I'm going to be very angry.
You are, and that's what I'm going to love about it.
I feel like I might fly off the handle.
Because I will have been a piece of that, but, yeah. So,
all right. Well, I'm looking forward to that.
So, for me, at least, Terminator Genisys is my Oak Island. It might be your Hunting Hitler, though.
Okay.
How long have we been recording here? About an hour.
Yes. Or, yeah.
Can I hit you with a little bit of news?
Yeah, give me a little news.
Little short news, and then I'll tell you what my texts were right before we started recording.
All right.
Because those are entertaining, too. I am going to skip the this is off Smoking Gun.
Mm-hmm, one of our faves.
I'm going to skip the headline, and I'm going to skip the, there's a word for that first paragraph of an article. I forget what it's called.
Yeah,
me too. I took journalism in like junior high. I can't remember what it's called because it's supposed to contain the most information. First paragraph of news article. There's a certain term for it. It's like the lead. Very simple. The lead, but it's supposed to basically try and contain the article in. One paragraph, one sentence, basically.
Yeah.
Basically answer as much of the who, what, why, when, who, what, why, where, when and how.
A Florida man was arrested.
Yeah, Florida man was arrested.
After masturbating in the supermarket.
Yeah. Dusty Ray Ingram, 38, was arrested earlier this month for violating probation terms imposed in connection with her 2013 conviction for child abuse and battery, according to court records. Her mugshot on here is quite fetching isn't the word, but it's the opposite of the word that comes to mind.
As though she's not fetching.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. She kind of looks like meatloaf, to be honest.
Ooh. Any woman would love to hear that.
Ingram, whose rap sheet also includes collars for stalking, assault, and theft, was transported January 5th to Okaloosa County Jail, where a female corrections officer conducted a strip search during the intake process.
Uh-huh. Oh, boy. I think I know where this is going.
During the search, the jailer discovered, quote, several pills taped up in a plastic jeweler's bag, partially exposed in the defendant's, go ahead and say it, Greg,
vagina.
End quote.
Yeah.
After being read her rights, Ingram identified the pills as the painkiller Percocet and Xanaflex, a muscle relaxant.
Xanaflex, huh?
Yeah, Xanaflex. I haven't heard of that. Xanaflex!
It's one of my faves.
Pictured above, Ingram claimed to have a prescription for the medications and admitted that she knew she was not allowed to bring the pills into the jail. However, Ingram, quote, denied doing so knowingly, quote, claiming that she, quote, keeps the pills in her purse and is unsure how they got from the purse into her vagina.
I feel like she's unsure about how a lot of things get into her vagina.
Probably.
Wow.
So, let me see. Is there like a... Oh, there is. Okay. Statement of probable cause narrative. On 1/5/15, I responded to a found narcotics incident at the Okaloosa County Jail. Address,
where is this again?
Florida.
Oh, of course.
The defendant, Dusty Ray Ingram, was identified by the corrections officer who searched Ingram. Ingram was transported to the county jail after being arrested on a warrant, blah, blah, blah. Let's see. The corrections officer conducted a strip search of the defendant per jail policy. During the search, she discovered several pills taped up in a plastic jeweler's bag. Plastic jeweler's bag, just like a small Ziploc bag, basically.
Yeah, like the little ones that you'd put like coke in.
Yeah, something like that. But the pills are taped up, or the bag is taped up. Like, did she just tape the pills together?
Yeah, maybe. Why was there any tape involved? It's already in a little bag.
That's what I'm confused about. Like, she was just like, "All right, I'm gonna tape these pills together and stuff them in my vagina." And then she was like, "Oh, wait, they'll dissolve because my vagina is so wet because I love getting arrested.
Because I'm just into this whole thing.
I love getting handcuffed and I have to stalk and assault people in order to get my way." So then she stuffed them in the jeweler's bag. Post-Miranda rights. The defendant identified the pills as Percocet and Xanaflex, which she had a prescription for. She stated she keeps the pills in her purse and is unsure how they got from the purse into her vagina. Post-Miranda, Ingram admitted she knew she was not allowed to bring the pills into the jail and denied doing so knowingly.
Huh.
There is probable cause to believe the defendant knowingly violated FSS blah blah blah, introduce contraband into the detention facility. The incident took place and blah, blah, blah. So they're just like, "Okay, so we found these. What do you have to say?" And she's like, "I don't know.
I don't know how they got there.
I don't know. Look, I keep them in my purse. Is my purse in my vagina? No. I don't know how they got
there. Not today.
No. Wait. What day is it? Wednesday? No, that happens on Tuesday. I have no idea how they got there. I don't know. And the cops were like, I think you do. I think this is probable cause.
You know what? I'll buy it.
Yeah, I think a reasonable person would say that you probably know.
Like, how could she possibly say, I don't know?
Yeah, who says that? Like, I don't know. A child would say that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, how did this melted ice cream get into your bed? I don't know.
I don't know.
I just really want ice cream. You said I couldn't have any ice cream because I didn't finish my dinner, but I wanted ice cream. So I just, you know, I took the ice cream and I took it into bed, and, you know.
So, just a question, you might have said that. How old is this woman?
38. 38 years young.
38 years young. She loved to laugh.
She loved to laugh and stuff bags of pills into her cooch.
Oh, God. So, oh, man. I'll say this. Pills in the cooch, I guess better than guns in the cooch.
Oh, yes, definitely. Especially in a bag. If they were taped up, I would still say that that was...
You imagine if they was just tape, like scotch tape around two pills shoved up her snatch.
Yeah, that would not be a good system.
No, definitely not.
That's not that's not a good way to go. Trying to see if I can find anything else on here real quick. I mean, I think that's enough, really. I just want to know, like, I'm kind of curious about the outcome of it. But chances are, like, she'll just stay in jail for a really long time, and then they'll be like, you know what, time served.
Maybe. Or, like she'll take forever to, like, actually go to her hearing, and then they'll get there and they'll be like, eh, whatever. Like, enough of you just clogging up our fucking judicial system.
Yeah.
Because, I guess to an extent that's probably true, but... Wow.
Why would that be your, like, go-to? Like, once you... I guess clearly not, but, like, why are you suddenly like, I don't know how they got there, I'm sorry. Like, wouldn't the better defense just be like, I'm sorry, like, I'm prescribed for him, I got scared, I just put him in the bag, shoved him up there, trying to think I could wean myself off of him. Like, and just be like, real quick, like, I don't know, I'm sorry. I prescribed them, they're for pain. Even if they're not, like, I mean, then that's a different thing. But, like, just try and throw them off and just be like, I'm sorry, like.
I'm not that bright.
Yeah, I was trying to wean myself. I figured if I can just shove, like, a few of them up there, I would just, like, wean myself off for a couple days. And then, you know, it wouldn't be that bad. But, or just be like, you know, I'm an addict, I'm sorry, like, I can't. But she was just like, I don't know how I have. I usually keep them in my purse, and it's one of those big purses. I got my iPad in there. I got.
But you're also water. You're trying to assume that this person can think logically.
Yes, I know that's also the issue, but I'm just saying, like, I don't know how they got there.
Yeah.
So my text messages before this, the show, You were like, oh, are you getting special text messages?
Yeah, sexts.
I did not get sexts, but they are somewhat show relevant. Did you hear that a Chick-fil-A employee was charged with apparently taping people in the bathroom?
No.
Yes.
Chuck Berry in the bathroom?
It's funny you should say that. Because apparently this was just, it was a dude filming dudes, though.
Oh, yeah, that's always the best.
But I saw the headline. So I went to our Facebook page. And I just, you know, made a little post about it because I had something in mind. And I said, a Chick-fil-A employee has been accused of filming customers in the restroom. I didn't know Chuck Berry worked there. You know, it makes sense.
That's good, I like it.
Yeah. Just before we started recording, I had a text message from my mom, that says, I don't get the Chuck Berry reference.
Oh, Colleen didn't know about Chuck Berry.
So I sent her a link to it. Like a half hour later, she replies and goes, wow, that explains it. I had no idea, or I just don't remember.
I think a lot of people tried to hide, you know.
I imagine that it probably wasn't huge news at the time. Like, they probably didn't make a big deal about it. It wasn't, like, as sensational as some other shit. Like, at that point, I feel like people still cared about real news a bit.
Yeah, that and also, you know, no internet and stuff like that. So, like, not everyone found out about it.
Yeah. So that Colleen now knows about Chuck Berry in the bathroom.
Oh, man, one of my favorites.
It's a big story.
Yeah. Wow.
I thought she was going to be mad when I sent it to her, though.
Oh, she's going to be like, why do you have to talk about people in the bathroom?
I was like, oh, God, it's the M word all over again.
Enough of this filth.
Jesus, take the wheel. Help me.
Oh, God.
But no, she was like, oh, that makes sense. Okay.
So your post is actually pretty accurate.
Yeah. Okay, then. Well, it looks like Chuck Berry is a creep, and I, your father and I should stop listening to my dingling on our anniversary. I thought it was about bells, but now I question. I thought, you know, I was
listening
thinking...
to my dingling on our anniversary. Oh, I hope there's someone that does that.
I guarantee there's
that's just like
one
their
person.
Thing. They're just like, all right, we're gonna sit down to dinner for our anniversary, honey. Go put the 45 of my dingling on.
It was like the first song that they danced to at their wedding was My Dingling.
Sounds great.
And they had a big group sing along, shouting out My Dingling.
My Dingling. Yeah. It's great.
So.
Creeps.
Oh, boy. I think that's it. Oh, we have to cover one other thing.
Oh, yes, real quick.
Yeah.
I'm already ahead in the...
Right. Okay, so hang on.
Well, they're going to hear the other episode.
So
first.
They should have heard the other episode.
Yeah.
266, which is coming out later because things happen. So we're recording this on the day that something happened, which is relevant to 266, but the timeline's kind of mixed up. So we want to clarify how it actually happened. So 266 was recorded last week. And today, and 266 is where we, if you haven't listened to it, where we came up with our death pools. A list of 10 people that we think are going to die in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
It's becoming a thing. People do it. It's, you know, we don't necessarily want those people to die, but it's
going to happen.
Yeah, and it makes an episode. So... we made our death pools, and you can check out 266 to hear our lists. But Greg's actual first pick has passed as of today.
Yeah, Abe Vigoda.
Abe Vigoda is sadly no longer with us. I honestly thought when you brought him up, I thought he was already dead.
Oh,
he's
really?
He's 94, or he was 94.
Well, it was 94, yeah.
He was 94. I thought he had passed probably with... He's one of those people that you feel like he probably already died, because when he made The Godfather, he looked pretty close to how he looked.
I know, he was
like a couple
the
years
70s.
Ago. Like well, he kind of looked the same. Like there are people that age, and then they reach a point and they just stop aging. And Abe Vigoda was one of those people.
You know, I'll have to go back and listen, but I'm wondering. There was one person that you asked me on my list. You said, are we going to hear about it when they die? And I almost think it was him. And I was going to be like, well, here's our answer. We heard about it.
Hang on. Let me know when you hear back, when you listen to it. Do I have the list right here? Oh, shit. I don't think I do. Because I think there was somebody else on your list that I think might have questioned where I was like, that person, I don't know, are we going to hear about it?
Yeah.
But yeah, it might have been, maybe it might have been Abe Vigoda.
But yeah, I'll figure that out. But yep, so I'm already,
it's one sip.
Well on my way to winning.
Here's the thing, actually, I looked up Abe Vigoda real quick, just looking at what he's done. He was in Good Burger in 1997.
I heard that today, actually. Someone mentioned it, which I did not know.
I got to go back and watch that now, just for him.
I guess he could.
What? You think I should go back and watch Godfather?
Oh, no, I mean, you know, you can. I'm sure you've seen... I know you've seen The Godfather plenty of times. I'm saying I'm not so sure it's worth sitting through all of Good Burger for. But
I don't think I've seen the thing in probably 20 years.
You could probably just find the scene on YouTube.
Probably. So you're 1-0. Mm-hmm. Pretty quickly. I just wanted to let everybody know that it's not like I can see that even though that episode hadn't come out yet, it was a legitimate pick.
Yes.
It was a legitimate pick, and it happened before that person's death. So
yep. I'm pretty impressed with myself.
That's pretty... What was your previous record, 2?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're halfway there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm well on my way to shattering my record.
You're halfway to matching your record.
Mm-hmm.
You're a third of the way there to beating your record.
Yeah. I'm almost there.
Okay. So we got to look for the next person, though. Like, there's going to be... There's got to be... Because it always happens in threes.
Yeah. Although, I mean, we're just kind of in a real slew right now of them, so...
Yeah. It's like a blizzard of actually celebrity deaths.
Yeah, we're getting a whole ton. So.
We had Alan Rickman, and the only thing that I keep thinking about with Alan Rickman is this Family Guy bit with Alan Rickman's answering machine. He's like, "Hello, this is Alan Rickman. Please leave a message." "Hello, Alan. This is Alan Rickman. I wanted to make sure the machine is working." Some shit like that. We lost David Bowie. Glenn Frey, the guy from Motorhead, whose name I can't remember at the moment.
Did you say, what's his face there? Fucking... No. What was, Wolfman Jack. I forget his real name.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Wolfman Jack. No, not Wolfman Jack. No, Grizzly Adams.
Oh, yeah, Grizzly Adams. Yeah.
Hey, you know, hairy guy.
I was like, Wolfman Jack died a long time ago.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. Although, there's still the guy that does the impersonation of him on the radio. Or on XM.
The guy that played Grizzly Adams, right?
Yeah.
Hang on. Dan Haggerty.
Yes, Haggerty, yes.
Yes, Dan Haggerty.
He just died.
Did he? What else did he do besides The Life and Times of Grizzly Adams?
Anything? I have no idea.
Last thing he was in was called Big Stan, 2007. The Life and Times of Grizzly Adams, the biggest thing that he was... Actually, no. The biggest thing he was in was arguably probably Easy Rider.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's legit.
And then the second biggest thing was Lifetimes of...
G. Adams.
Yeah. G. Adams! We're just in like a... There's a lot of... I don't know. I'm worried. You're worried that in 2016 we're going to lose some big ones.
Well, hopefully we...
Hopefully I win is what you're trying to say.
Yeah, hopefully I win the contest.
Well, you know. Should we close out then?
Yeah.
That's it for But You're Wrong. I'm Keith Bordela.
I'm Greg DiNicola.
Remember, everyone, no regrets. And when you die, it's better to be remembered as Abe Vigoda than a woman that shoved pills up her vagina. Thank you for listening to the But You're Wrong podcast. If you like what you hear, check us out on Twitter at BYW Podcast. You can also check us on Facebook at facebook.com/ButYou'reWrong. And if you have any grievances to air, be sure to email them to BYWPodcast@gmail.com.